Lord is still dealing with me about this, so we'll do part two of dealing with excellent faith. And I want to bring you back up to date. Father, we thank you. Keep opening this revelation of faith to us, and we'll share with the body of Christ all over the world that many things have been trying to be accomplished, and this aspect of faith will help them to accomplish it in divine order. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we talked about the measure of faith. You know, that's Romans 12:3. The Bible talks about little faith. The Bible talks about great faith. The Bible talks about exceeding great faith, precious faith. And then here we've been teaching on excellent faith, faith of excellency. Well, I want you to go with me to the book of Jude for a moment. The book of Jude, right before Revelation. I just want to read one or two verses to substantiate this excellent faith, this faith that can't fail. There was an aspect of faith that Paul said, I prayed, the Lord said, I prayed for Peter, told him, I pray that your faith fail not. Well, here we are talking about excellent faith. Here in Jude, if you say chapter 2, I know you don't know about the Bible. But I want you to see in the 19th to the 21st verses, I want you to see something. He's talking about people in the 19th verse who operate in their senses. Now, a lot of times, if you're not operating properly in faith, you think you're operating in faith, but if you're not in the spirit, you're operating in your senses. And when you're operating in your senses, you defeat it before you start, all right? So it says here in the 18th verse, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day time who should walk after their own ungodly love. In the 19th verse, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Notice that most holy faith, because I'll show you inside what that most holy faith really means. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That most holy faith, see that 21st verse? Keep yourself in the love of God. See, the love of God in faith make faith unconquerable. We read, we're going to read again, excellent faith will never fail. What? For it is filled with unfailing substance. And then we found out in the last teaching that unfailing substance is love. Didn't we? So let's go back to Ephesians 3. Build so I can get into some things tonight that will take us further in operating in excellent faith. It doesn't mean you excellent, it means he excellent. But it would do so much to your faith, so much damage had been done to us, aiming to operate in faith, and our faith was not fortified enough. Love fortify your faith to a different, undeniable, unstoppable, unlimited dimension. When you operate with love, your faith is wrapped in love. We'll deal tonight with some have-nots, some have-nots that deal with the realness of your I am-ness. All that has to do with how you operate in your faith. We'll get to that in a few moments. In Ephesians, we read, I'll just give it to you, I'm not going to read it, because I really need to get into that now. I felt the Holy Ghost saying, get into it. Ephesians 3:14-21, and it tells us about the 17th verse, so let me read that, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. Look at the 17th verse. 17th verse of Ephesians 3. That Christ, a prayer, I'm just in the middle of it, that Christ may dwell in your heart or in your soul or in your inner man by faith. Then it goes right on to say that you're being rooted and grounded in love. See, and so the rooted and grounded in love has something to do with your faith. Now, I have a question. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians again now, and we're going to propose a question that will help us dig deeper into this aspect of excellent faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You remember in the end of the 12th verse, after talking, he talked about communion, talks about the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, but he gets to the end of the 12th chapter, the last verse, verse 31, but covet honestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. You see where he said, I'll show you a more excellent way. And then he went on into chapter 13 and told the excellent way, which is by love. So I'm going to tell you some anchors that you need to drop in your excellent faith. I'm going to tell you some abiding you must do in your excellent faith. I'm going to tell you some have-nots you have to take out of your faith for it to be excellent faith. So I want you to listen closer now. What happened when one understand the I am-ness of faith? God is-ness and reward are in faith. God is-ness, as Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that he is, and he's the reward of them that did it to see him. But I heard God is-ness. See, God never, your faith has to learn this. God never trying to be something. Yes, sir. He's never trying to do something. He's just waiting on your faith. And when your faith understand that illness, when illness get in your faith, it's no turn down, it's no turn around. It's there. You see what I'm saying? You see, there's, it take all the limits, all the impossibility when my I am-ness and illness is in faith. Mm-hmm. Your I am identity. We're going to see where in 1 Corinthians where it can be destroyed. It become invalidated if you don't know how to operate in faith, which work is by love. All right? I want you to know that now. So let's deal with the have not faith to make sure our faith have what it need. The have not in faith. These first three verses in 1 Corinthians 13 is dealing with faith as well. And in each verse, 1, 2, and 3, there's a have not there. And but there's a possibility of having where the have nots are. Yes, sir. All right. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, you see it? Underline that, and have not. See, so in 1 Corinthians 1, I want you to see this because I got to go very clear with this for you to see and your faith going to build. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I'm a good speaker, and have not love, you see, and have not. So we got to get those and have not out of our life, out of our faith. See, then when the and have not, now you deal with your I am-ness. I am becoming a sounding brass or tingling cymbal. In other words, I'm saying a lot of words, saying I'm operating in faith, but I'm not locking into love, so I have not. So the reason, the reason that your faith has not reached to the point where you've been trying to get it reach for over years and years, it has to be packed in love. Yeah, it has to be packed in love. And there are so many things that try to rob your faith of love. So he said, when you have not, your I am identity in faith is contaminated. When you have not love and trying to operate in faith, the I am-ness of your faith is no more effective. What do you mean by the I am-ness of your faith? Every promise, everything God says, put I am-ness in your faith. That's your I am identity. And, you know, church may not know a whole lot about that, but it's real. If you deal with the have not and the I am and the illness of God and the reward of God is in the fact that you have your love, have love in your faith. Notice verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, powerful prophecy, and understand all mystery, wow, and all knowledge. Now here I told you we're talking about faith. And do I have all faith? You see that? Yeah. I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. Wow. But then there's another and have not. That's right. See, there's another and have not. I got the faith, my faith. In other words, what he's saying to you is that there's no limitation to your faith. The only limit that the enemy can put on your faith if you let him pull love out of it and put something else in there. Are you following me? Look at that second verse. And do I have to give a prophecy? Look, prophecy, man. And understand all mystery. All mystery. You understand all mystery. Wow. And all knowledge. Come on, class. You see it? And do I have all faith? There's three alls, isn't it? All knowledge, all mysteries, all faith, but then, and have not. So I've been going to church 33 years and have not. But tonight I got my answer. I've been pushing the word, speaking the word, saying the word, writing the word, but now I know that the divine influence of all spiritual things is love. So I have to, when Paul said this is the most excellent, I'm going to show you the most excellent way, he was telling you a way greater than the gifts of the Spirit. He was telling you a way that you can't rightfully take communion without this ingredient. You can't take communion without love. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ don't mean nothing to you without love. I'll tell you something about Jesus in a few moments that... Well, let me tell you now. Jesus was operating in most excellent faith on the cross. Or he couldn't do it. See, very familiar voice now when he told me that, John 3:16. That's most excellent faith. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus couldn't make it on the cross without love. It was the love of God sustaining him. Matter of fact, all of Jesus' ministry was sustained by love. When you see Jesus operating in faith, he was operating in excellent faith. You know, I believe he had excellent faith. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Huh? As he is, so are we in this world. You see, so I know Body of Christ. I know Word of Life Christian Center. I know that God is taking us places, preparing us for anything that come up, because this world system is a mess and they're changing every minute. But when something hits you and you know you're operating in excellent faith and you know your I am-ness is in your faith, and when you know God illness and God reward is in your faith, and when you know that nobody can stop your faith. See, this, listen, this is... a degree of faith. This is a dimension of faith that the Lord, I say, is apostolically bringing to the body of Christ, that their faith will be stronger than anything that exists. Yes, that's what God designed faithful to do, that nothing can stop you when you're operating in faith. So that's what Jesus, the whole ministry, he went on the cross, is all through faith. Look at the third verse. Because in these three verses, all kind of things, good, I can talk good, I know all mystery, I know all knowledge, I have all faith. What? I have all faith and nothing happening. You know, I know sometime in your life your faith got bogged down. All of us went through that. And you believe in God for something, you got the scripture right there, told you can have it. But it don't seem like you can get it. And you know, Satan is playing patty cake because he don't want you to find out about this ingredient called love that never fails. Once love is put in your faith can't fail. See, are you following me? See, love, I told you, love and God, they are synonymous. So when you talk about love, you're talking about God himself. Because the Bible says God is love. All right, now look and listen. In the third verse, and do I bestow all my good? Well, now I want you to get back. I have all faith in the second verse so that I can remove mountains. You see that? And have not charged. Look how your I am this is killed right there. What do you say? I am what? Okay. I got faith, man. I got the Bible. I took communion last month. See? But I am is dead. I am nothing. Your identity of the divine nature is not validated. Because the only thing that can validate the divine nature runs on love. See? That's my I am. First one, my I am. Become a son and bread. So my I am is dead there. I am nothing in verse 2. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? That's a good thing, man, feeding the poor. Uh-huh. And do I give my body, oh my God, a sacrifice, you know. But, and there's another, and have not. You see it?
Yep.
It profits me nothing. Man. So I have not, I am nothing, it profits me nothing. Mm-hmm. What kind, who gonna use faith like that? So you wanna secure your I am identity in dealing with faith. See, we're not, brothers and sisters, we're not talking about regular service yet. We're not talking about regular teaching yet. We're talking about being grounded and rooted. We're talking about moving beyond regular faith. See, you can have all faith, but you still nothing without the right ingredients called love in it. When love come, the whole package come. Yes, I'll show you that in a scripture. I want to show you how powerful that is. Turn your Bible to Matthew 22. I'll show you. I'll go ahead of myself and show you this because you need to show that. You see this, you hear better as I go down the line. Matthew 22. We're talking about operating in excellent faith, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Matthew 22. All right. Now notice verse 34. Verse 34. Excellent faith loves God more than anybody or anything else. Excellent faith loves God more than anybody or anything else.
Yes,
you got that?
Yep.
Now watch what I'm gonna read. I'm gonna show you something that you need that you can be able to add to your faith that'll make your faith unconquerable, unstoppable, unlimited. Verse 34, I'll just read, but when the Pharisees and the heard that it's religious folk, that he had put the Sadducees, religious folk, the solid, they were gathered together. Then one of them watched, all right, Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, he put all religion to silence right there. He put all religion to silence.
Right.
What the Lord is teaching us about excellent faith, our faith filled with the substance of love, we put Satan and all demonic power silent.
Yes, sir.
They can't stop you. Because they just can't stop you. Because you're operating in a faith beyond doubt. God love, the substance of God love is running through your faith. Now watch this. And then the lawyer and everybody can get confused when it come down to you operating lawyer, smart people, educated people. When you operating in faith, they all get confused. Religious folk, ritual folk, they all get upset. They don't, what are you doing? Who is she? Who is she? How she know that? Then one of them, verse 35, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. So he's supposed to be smart, you know. Tempted him and said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Now watch what Jesus said to him, and I want to tell you something about your most excellent faith. Watch. Jesus said to him, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, right? And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Now you're talking about love, right?
Yeah.
Look at verse 40. Meditate verse 40 for a minute. See it.
Yep.
See it. Look what your faith have got a hold of. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Every spiritual transaction is hung on the basis that love is in the floor. Love is in the loop. And then when your faith is filled with love, any prophetic, any spiritual transaction, any supernatural, any sign, any wonder, any miracle is submitted to that kind of faith.
Yeah.
It may be why we have not seen as many miracles as we need to see, because diligence, we got a lot of diligent people in the body of Christ.
Right.
Nobody never saved. We got a lot of people who really love God.
Right. Yeah.
But they're not seen enough. So what the Lord is now, he's concerned about getting them in a position where they can see their love in action through their faith.
Yes, sir.
Woo, I love it.
Yes.
See their love. He said, on these two commandments, both love commandments, hang all the law and the prophet. Actually, when I read that some years ago, I found out that all spiritual things is functioning there. It's functioning by love. And so when we got love in our faith, we can't be stopped. Matter of fact, let me go on. I've jumped, but I lack it so much, I'm going to do it. Matter of fact, Jesus' whole ministry was built on most excellent faith. When you get to Mark 11, 22 through 26, it said, have the faith of God. You can't have the faith of God if the love of God is not in your faith. See, talk about moving the mountain, talk about getting all your prayers answered. Then he talks about if you've got any odds against somebody, ask them, forgive them and get them to forgive you.
Yep.
See, that's the way Jesus was operating. That's why, watch this now. It's going to sound so unreligious. That's why Jesus' faith didn't fail.
Come on.
Yeah.
He had to operate by faith. He was a man. Oh, yes, he was the man.
Yeah.
He couldn't die for us.
Because
he couldn't die as a God. He died as a man.
Yeah.
But his faith was excellent because it was operating in love. Love for his fellow man. Love for God. Love for moral living right. And Jesus get a little upset if you go mess around and talk about you love God, love his father, and you're not living right. And then Jesus turned that church out. Turn that temple out. But they was in there doing all kinds of things, making all kinds of exchange, appetizing for commercial in the pulpit. Jesus turned it out. All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And I saw four anchors drop. Four anchors to hold your faith in place when things look like they're not going right. You need those anchors down. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right. Verse 7. Four anchors there. That's what the Spirit of God is. Tell them, drop those four anchors. You're going to need them because sometimes look like faith is not working. And sometimes the enemy throw a lot of stuff in your face and a lot of stuff going on. What you got to do, be able to do is bears all things. Drop that anchor. Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promise. Beareth all things. In other words, don't let the things take you off track. Drop that anchor. Sometimes you're gonna need that. You're gonna need to be able to bear something. You can't be a crybaby. You gotta bear it. You see, knowing that you're gonna win.
Yeah.
See, in a wrestling match, sometimes you're under the bottom. If you're wrestling a good opponent, you know, sometimes they'll flip you. But you can't be at the bottom and think you're going to stay there. You know what I'm saying? So then the next thing is believe it all things. Drop that anchor. If God said it, I believe it. Drop that anchor. No matter what it looked like. Third anchor is hope it in all things. Notice all things. all things. And the fourth anchor is endure. Enduring all things. So when I heard in my study, dropping faith anchors, bearing all things, believing all things, enduring all things, hoping all things. Look at the thing, all things. Now, what that, I hear the Holy Spirit saying this, watch this, it's going to be powerful. Romans 8:28, turn there. See, you drop them anchors, there it is. I heard the Holy Ghost just say that. Not even my note. All things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. You see, love making that happen. All things got to work, love make it happen. You see Romans 8:28, you see what it said? And we know that all things, we just talk about four all things anchors we drop.
Yep.
We drop four love all things anchors.
That's right.
Just a few minutes ago in verse 7. You know, so it look like it's not working, check your ankles. Make sure you got your ankles down, because your ankles going to hold you until manifestation.
Yep.
And sometimes you're waiting on a manifestation, but God don't want to give you no manifestation. He won't give you a demonstration. So he let you fight it along. We'll see how long he can fight. He's going to let you fight it along, because it's got to happen. Faith, it's got to happen in faith. You got that? Now, also, in understanding this excellent faith, you got to understand in the abiding factors of faith. Abiding factor. John 15:7, the abiding factor. You got to be able to abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, look what he said. That's talking about faith. Ask what you will and it be done. You got to be doing it by faith. But it's abiding in Christ. Abiding, and the word abiding in you, that's what caused it to happen. Can you see that? Y'all don't see that, I'm about to close. And I said, me wasting my time here tonight with y'all if y'all don't see that. Now, abiding. So you got John 15:7, abiding in Christ, Christ abiding, the word abiding in you, the combination of two. Now, we're told that in 1 Corinthians, let's see. In 1 Corinthians 13, you see what have happened. I know this happened to me many years. That verse was a dividing verse to me. Y'all look at the verse. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13. It was a dividing verse to me. I always talk about dividing faith, hope, and love, you know, to get love to be the greatest. But actually, it is an abiding verse.
Uh-huh.
And now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three. It just told you about the greater of these, the love, but keep them together.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
See, when you divide them, you will talk about great love, but there's great faith and there's great hope there. They are a family that needs to stay together. And so all those years I've been dividing when I should have had them abiding. I need all three of them together. Are you following me? Yeah, love them, won't leave them, because they're part of love family. Oh my goodness. Abiding in faith, abiding in hope. These are abiding, put them down. Abiding in faith, abiding in hope, abiding in love. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Leroy, I'm almost through,
yes. Yes, sir.
1 John. Go to 1 John. One thing I've done with this ministry, and the Lord told me during this pandemic, keep the church open. My wife and I often talk about, you see people move out of a house and that house just sit there. It's something about life not in a house.
Right.
That house dry rot, start looking bad, and things start, the house just loses value. It's something where God got it. So the Lord told me, I don't sit at my death and record a tape and send here. I'm here alive. I'm right here right now. He said, keep my house open. See. So the house open because we here. And I'll be soon and very soon, everybody else is going to be back. Y'all believing with that? What y'all fellas, somebody knock table. Yeah, amen. Some of y'all like to sit in y'all pajamas and see me out here working, but y'all coming back to church. The Bible said, forsake not to assemble yourself as the man of some ill. Talking about the television pastor. No, you better get on back over here when I tell you. When I made the call, I'm going to see all y'all. I'm coming to your house. All right. Let's look at this. Let's look at, we're talking about abiding, right? All right, 1 John. Turn to 1 John. I want to show you something. Chapter 2, I think it's verse 27. If I ever get there, 1 John, Leroy, 2:27. I'm talking about abiding now, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. See, so if that anointing abideth in me, it is abiding in my faith. See, that anointing mean ability. It mean divine ability, abiding in my faith. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and it's true, and there's no lie. Well, think about your faith now. See, think about your faith. See, if you taught anything, it has to be taught to your faith or it's invalid. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I don't care how much information you have. If your faith is not taught by the anointing, you're not going to be able to go there. Right. How many see that? See? So that's also the abiding anointing. So I wrote this note. Love is your I am identity. Love is your I am identity. And you know, that's why we dropped them four anchors, because there's a lot of stuff can pull you out of love. You know what I'm saying? But you got to drop them anchors, and them anchors will kind of cool you down. And I wrote these words. Oh, my. I know y'all want to hear them before I close. Don't let your faith be raped. Anytime you're not in love, you just have been molested by the enemy and the world system.
That's right.
Wow. You're going to end up with something you don't want. A lot of times, when people rape, they end up with something they don't want. Don't let your faith be raped of the thing that the Lord has been saying to us about excellent faith, blood dripping faith. He's teaching me now about kingdom faith, how to operate in kingdom faith. Get a hold of these things, my brothers and sisters. Don't let your faith be raped. Love neutralized the devil and all his demons. Love is the most excellent. Faith will take you through every crucifixion to a resurrection, to the throne of God. That type of faith will take you through every, some things you have to die to, and you'll rise up in a brand new resurrection, and it takes you to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying, Leroy. All right, I'll close this. Love and marriage. You know this statement. Goes like a horse and carriage. You heard it before, right? Love and faith goes like a lion and an eagle. Yeah. You're roaring and soaring in life. What you can't whip on the ground, you soar it in the sky. This type of faith will take you there. Oh, my goodness. Keeping your faith soaked in love. All spiritual laws and transactions must submit to faith that is soaked in love. Love is the master fuel for faith to never fail. I'm acting Baptist tonight, Leroy. I said, love run all the laws. And probably we baptized close 7 or 8 times. All right, I'll close with this then. This is my third, my fourth closing. But I want y'all to see this because I might have a lot of stuff I don't be able to get back to because I'm gone. When I make a statement, I want you to look at verses to close in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll make a statement and give you verses to close. My half hour done, boys. Thought I was going to be through. Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to read the scripture to you. And they're going to set your faith on fire. Love holds faith in place no matter what comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hold it. We're going to see it. Look at Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You with me? Verse 35. Let me read the statement again. Love holds faith in place no matter what comes. Verse 36, as written, for thy sake, we'll kill all day long. We'll count as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor thing present, nor thing to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. I'm trying. I'm still a student. And I'm finally going to give you some of this stuff that was taught to me by a senior apostle. I'm trying to give you one or two of them tonight. Faith is that spiritual force which opens humanity to a world of unlimited possibility. Faith is that spiritual force which opens humanity to a world of unlimited possibility. Faith is a world of no limits. If you can believe, all things are possible. Faith is living in a spiritual world of no limit. Right? However, it takes faith to get God on the line. Listen, everything answers to faith, and faith answers to God. Faith is an important subject, an all-important subject. It holds the key that opens impossible doors. When faith is out of place, there's no connection. All right.